First grade through fifth grade is going to head to the classroom. Let's stretch your hands to the walls. Of course, our preschool and nursery is already meeting to my left as well. Stretch your hands to one of the walls. Let's bless all of our children. Father, we bless and pray for all of our children. God, we thank you for our heritage. They are given to us from the Lord. And God, we speak over them today. God, blessing. We come against any plans the enemy has for their life. And God, we call out the things of God in their life. Lord, we believe our children will be children of destiny, walking full of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their life. And God, we call out the things of God, that they would be a voice to their generation, and they would serve you all the days of their life. And Father, we bless them. We say together, amen. Today, before we head into the sermon this morning, I want to quickly just tell you that next week we're kicking off a new series for the new year. And the name of the series is Breaking New Ground. Anybody want to break new ground in your life? Anybody want to break new ground in 2013? You know, breaking new ground means you're obtaining new ground. You're breaking hold of the old and starting something new. And I believe that as we get into this series in 2013 and breaking new ground, that God is going to do some amazing things in your life. Today, I believe as we head into that series that God is going to speak to you. Matter of fact, next week we're going to have some invite cards to pass out so you can take the people who you know who maybe are looking for a fresh start to the new year, maybe looking for a church home, or maybe been out of church for a while. You can take these cards to them and say, hey, we're starting a new series on breaking new ground. If you want to get a fresh start to your life, you can invite them to come during this series. We're also, next week I'll be talking a lot more about it in detail, but we're going to be starting a fast on the 7th, January 7th through the 27th. We'll start on Monday the 7th and go all the way through Sunday the 27th until after church. We're going to be having a fast. We've done for the last couple of years here at Destiny, and we believe that as we start the first part of our year, we like to take 21 days and begin to focus in upon God and saying, God, we want to get back to our priorities where they need to be. Refocusing. I'll be doing a Daniel fast, and many of you join me in that, and that's simply where we don't have any meat. We just eat vegetables and fruits, and we don't have any sugar, any breads, and we kind of just tailor our diet that way. Now, many of you others do other things. Some people here fast TV. Some of you fast Facebook, that you're addicted to Facebook so bad. You knew you needed to give up Facebook for 21 days, but whatever it is, it needs to be something very dear to your heart. Don't just give up something that's easy. You don't give up coffee if you don't drink coffee. And that's not that I'm giving them coffee. Eh? Well, if you don't drink 3 cups a day, that's not a big deal to you. But if you drink a lot of coffee, that's a big deal to you. So be thinking about something you can give up. Be praying about that and say, God, what do you want me to give up as I come? This is not mandatory. It's only for those who want to take the challenge to say, I would like to go a little bit deeper this year, and I would like to get my focus in upon God and put it right where it needs to be as we start the year off. So we like to do that. It's been every year we hear testimonies of what God's done through that fast, and he's answered many prayers, giving much direction in people's lives during that time. So just let you a heads up on that. Begin to pray about that now as we head into next week. Today I want to preach and teach on a thought that's going to lead us into next week, and it's called Let Go and Take Hold. Let go and take hold. How many know it's time to let go and take hold? How many know if you're going to ever take hold of anything new, you got to let go of what you have? You can't, if you're hanging on to something now, you're not going to grab a hold of anything new. And for many of us here, we've been in 2012, you've been hanging on to things in your life that have been weighing you down, whether it be addiction, whether it be unconfessed sin in your life, whether it be problems, whether it be trials you faced, whatever it is, the challenges you had, you're going to have to open up your hand and let go if you say, God, I want to take a hold of something better. And for some of you, you've been hanging on a lot longer than 2012. For some of you, you've been hanging on to things for many, many years, hanging on to things and saying, God, take this thing from me, but you're not giving to God, you're hanging on to it. I mean, our prayer is basically like this: God, take this pulpit. God, take it from me. But we got our grip on it so tight, he ain't going to take it. Listen, God is not going to take it from you when you get a hold of it that tight. He will take it from you when you give it to him willingly. God, this is my life, and this is what it is, and I give it, my life, totally to you. It's an open-hand policy. My hands closed, God doesn't pry my hands open. But my hands are open, God receives it, and he always gives me back something better. When I give something to God, he always takes that and multiplies it back. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Remember, the things that have hurt me in the past, God wants to turn around and give it to become a weapon of victory for my future. And so I've got to let go to what? Take hold. I think we all walk in the church trying to cover up. Isn't that true? That we all walk in trying to cover up who we really are. Because it's a lot easier to cover up than it is to change. It's a lot easier to put on a mask and to walk around. Some of you did that this morning. As you're coming to church, you put on your church mask. And you walk in the church, I've got it all together. I'm okay. He is not preaching to me. He's got to be preaching to my husband because I've got it all together. My husband doesn't, but I do. Some of you know today as we walked in that we're really good about putting on masks. We're really good about saying, I've got it together. And when we realize this, let me just tell you something. I've canceled people and I've met people and I've been doing ministry a long time. And including myself, let me get you in on a little secret here. None of us have it all together. We don't. I've never met anybody who has it all together. And if you're here today and you think you have it all together, you're probably the person that needs it the most, realizing that you don't have it all together. Because none of us have it all together. It's kind of like that joke that's kind of going around now. You've heard off that popular show, Duck Dynasty, that you hear the statement saying that every family has got an Uncle Si. And if your family doesn't have an Uncle Si, you're probably the Uncle Si in your family. It's probably the same way. If you think it's the message for everybody else, it's not for me, it's probably exactly for you this morning. Because none of us have it together. And the sooner we realize that and the sooner we admit that, the more God can do an operation in our heart. The more that God can heal me, the more God can do things in my life. But when I walk in, I put on a mask, I stop God from seeing who I truly am, even though he knows who I am. I think I'm covering up. Because the thing is, I'm not okay, you're not okay. We all need God to change us in our life. So what are we covering up today? See, it's easier to say I'm all right than it is to admit I have a weakness. It's easier to say I'm all right, to cover up and wear that mask, than it is to say I'm dealing with addiction in my life. I'm dealing with unconfessed sin in my life. I'm dealing with things in my life that I don't want to show. So the question is, what are you covering up today? Pastor Joe, grab that chair for me. Today, many of us, we walk in, and when we sit down in the church today, we walked in putting that mask on. We walked in just covering ourselves up, saying, you know what? I'm okay. I'm all right. And we try to think, I can just pull it together for just a little bit of time here. If I can pull it together for an hour and a half, nobody will know that really on the inside, I'm hurting. Really on the inside, I'm struggling. Really on the inside. So we walk into church, and this is what we do to ourselves. We walk in just like we're getting comfortable, snuggling up, watching that movie. We walk into church the same way, and we cover ourselves up. But this is what happens. The Christians, especially, we know this, that whom the Father loves, he does what? He corrects. Who the Father loves, he exposes. And so if we choose to cover ourselves up, God will choose to uncover us. But what I have learned is this. If we will learn to walk in and uncover ourselves, we walk in and say, you know what, guys? I don't have it together. And I need God's help in my life. And I've got some things I'm dealing with. And I've got some problems that I'm facing, and I've got some addictions I'm struggling with, and I got some sin that I need someone to help me with, and God, I need your help, and I can't make it. Oh, on the outside, I look like I got it together, but on the inside, I don't have it together. And God, this is who I am. This is Joe, and this is the real Joe. This is who I am. You know what God does? And then God comes to us, and he wraps us in the midst of the congregation. And covers us and says, this is my son. I'm going to cover him with my mercy. I'm going to cover him with my grace. And he takes and he covers up the things I tried to expose. Isn't it awesome? I mean, if you really want to be covered up, then expose, because God will cover you. But if you want to be exposed, come in to cover yourself up, and God will definitely uncover you. It happens, because he loves us too much to let us walk around unhealthy. And so things fall apart in our life for a reason. He wants us to deal with the problem. And so the quicker we can learn to come in and say, God, I got some problems I need to deal with, the sooner he can come and heal our heart and take away our affliction. Thank you, Pastor Joe. You look good in that sheet, man. You having a toga party this weekend? All right. All right. All right. This takes us right into our text this morning, Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not what? Prosper. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I think these are two things that every one of us here today want. We all want mercy, correct? We want God's grace and mercy. Then I must confess my sins. And if I want to prosper, I must what? Not cover up. Not cover up who I am. And some of us think it's just the opposite. If I cover up who I am, then I'll prosper. I'll fool people into thinking I've got it all together. But the mature person says, no, I don't have it all together. I uncover myself in God. And then God says, that's the person I can use right there. That's the person I can prosper right there, because that person is not afraid to say they got some warts. This person's not afraid to say they got some blemishes. This person's not afraid to say I've blown it. This person's not afraid to say I don't have it all together. And God says, finally, that's somebody I can use. That's somebody I can begin to repair and put back together. Let's confess our sins. Let's uncover so God can cover. So we got to learn to admit I can't. You very seldom hear me say this. I'm a very much motivational guy. You know me. I don't like to say things like I can't. It's really not my vocabulary very often. But when it comes to this particular circumstances, we really need to learn to say I can't. I can't survive my marriage without your help, God. I can't survive my health, God, without your help. God, I can't survive my finances without your help. God, I cannot survive my addiction without your help. God, I cannot survive my depression without your help. God, I cannot survive my fear without your help. We got to step up and say I can't, because true change happens when I say I can't do it on my own. True change happens when I say I can't do it on my own. It's being honest, taking off that mask and say I don't have it all together. We got to lay aside. Church should be the safest place in the world for you to come in and say, you know what, I don't have it all together. But for some reason, we have flipped that in society, and we're all right to fall apart during the week, but all of a sudden, we got to pull it together when we go to church. Am I the only one that notices this? I mean, come on. Think about it. We got to, all of a sudden, we try to pull it together for a few hours on Sunday morning so no one sees the real us. No, we got to say, I don't have it all together, and church should be the safest place to say, man, I need help. God, I can't do it without you. God, I don't want to do it without you. And pursuing him. I love this story we're going to read here in just a minute in Mark chapter 5. The story of the woman with the issue of blood. Let's pick it up in Mark 5, 25 and verses 26. It says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. Many theologians believe this woman was very wealthy because she spent so much money on doctors trying to get better. Look what it says here. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Today, we realize this, that this woman had been bleeding for 12 years, and she was considered unclean. In that time, they believed if you had a problem like that, you must have had a curse on you. You must have done something wrong. You must have had some kind of secret sin for God to punish you in this way. And so, and when you were bleeding that long, you have been labeled as an unclean person. You were not allowed to partake in many of the spiritual, what they call religious ceremonies of those days. And so you were labeled as unclean, and people could not touch you. People could not be around you. And you were seen as the person who was cursed, who had done many things wrong. Even if she had, and then that was true, that's what she was labeled in society. And it says this woman, she had spent
everything she had. She had fear. She had to let go of her fear to go. How many of us have bleeding in our life? She'd been bleeding for 12 years. And I believe for many of us, we've been bleeding this long. We've been bleeding in our marriage. We've been bleeding in our hurt. We've been bleeding in our finances. You've been bleeding with your family. You've been bleeding on the inside. You've been bleeding. And you've tried to stop it, the bleeding, to no avail. And it says here that, you know, we got to let go of our fear. She had to let go of her fear and begin to press to Jesus. Let go of her fear of being the outcast and press to Jesus. Let me ask you this question. What things are we holding on to today? What things are we holding on to today? She spent lots of money trying to fix her problems. And I believe many of us do the same thing here. And it's one thing that if you've ever met anybody who's made a lot of money in their life, they'll tell you this one thing, that money does not fix your problems. Some of us here, we won't blame it on money. If I just had a better job, if I could just get a raise, if we just had more income, if our money could do, we would just be so much happier. That's so untrue. The rich would tell you that money does not and cannot buy you happiness. We have TV shows that are dedicated to proving this point time and time again about the rich and famous who have made millions and yet their life is just falling apart and wreck. We see it every day in the news and the headlines, tabloids. You see the whole headlines all the time. People who have all the money they could ever use in the world still wasting away because there's no happy. Money does not fix the real source of the problem. So she threw money at the problem, but instead of getting better, it got worse. It got worse. We maybe not throw money, but maybe we do throw other things at the problem. Well, I don't want to deal with my problem, so I'll take on another job so I don't have to deal with the pressure at home. Or I'll take on another hobby, and I'll stay gone fishing and hunting a little longer than usual so I don't have to come home and deal with the problem. I'll do this. We do all kinds of things to try to medicate the problem, stop the bleeding, but it doesn't stop the bleeding. We're just putting a Band-Aid over a river there trying to stop the bleeding. Because, see, nothing will stop your bleeding except for Jesus. Nothing will stop your bleeding except for Jesus. Look what verse 27 says in this story. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd. Mostly she had to fight through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Now this morning, we got to realize this, that this woman, she was full of shame, and she had to fight through the current of people to get to Jesus. By this time, Jesus had already established a rock star status. And what I mean by that is the crowds are already coming to him. He'd already performed many miracles and doing his teachings. And wherever he went, the crowds were following him. We're not talking about a few people. We're talking about the multitudes. The Bible talks about when he went out to teach. Remember how 30,000 people ended up out there listening to Jesus teach on the hillside. I mean, people followed him everywhere. Thousands of people pressing to him. Heal me. Touch me. Touch my baby. Touch this prayer cloth. Touch this t-shirt. Autograph this. I mean, doing all kinds of crazy things trying to get to Jesus. So she, the order for her to get to Jesus, she had to fight through the current of people to get to him. Let me tell you this, that in your life, if you're a new Christian here today and you are wanting more of God in your life, you're going to have people that you're going to have to come against and fight against the current of people who are going to speak out against you. They're going to tell you, you're going the wrong way. There's nothing to this church. There's nothing to this God. There's nothing to this Jesus thing. You're trying to get help in the wrong place. And you're going to have people speak against you, even people who are the very closest to you many times. I'll be the ones that will discourage you. And in order for you to get the breakthrough that God's wanting for your life, in order for you to take hold of the new thing that God's got for you, you've got to press through the crowd. You've got to press through the people and say, I've got to take hold of who Jesus is in my life. And you've got to fight through the crowd. If you're ever going to get healed, you must fight through the current. If you're ever going to stop the bleeding, you've got to fight through the current. She had to let go to take hold. She had to let go of her shame. Her fear. I'm sure she walked through the crowd and people were like, ah, don't touch me. Ah, she's unclean. Ah, it's her. I mean, she might as well have been carrying two skunks in her hand. People were probably just scattering to get away from her as they recognized who she was because of her reputation of being unclean. That woman, she had to let go of it all and say, I'm going after Christ. I love the story. Pick it back up in verse 29 and 30. Immediately the bleeding stopped after she touched him, and she could feel in her body that she had been, what? Healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? Who touched me? I love this because Jesus knew that somebody had touched him. But the thing about it was, how many people were really touching him then? I mean, thousands of people were touching him, reaching for him. She was not the only one trying to touch Jesus. What was different about her touch compared to the hundreds and thousands of others that are there touching him? Jesus knew that there was one woman that was there that she was not going to settle until she got a hold of who Jesus was. See, for many of us here, we think we just come to church on Sunday morning and we think, I'm touching Jesus. I'm going to go to church, I'm going to touch Jesus. But there's others that come and say, you know what? I'm going to press in a little bit longer. I'm going to press in a little bit tougher. I'm going to fight the current and say, I don't want to just touch Jesus. I'm just not here to say I've been to church, but I'm here to say, God, I want more of you in my life. God, I want to take hold of everything you have for me. God, I've got to be healed. God, I want my bleeding to stop. Only you have the power to change my life. Only you have the power to do the miracle I need. And my faith is in you, God. And I don't care if I'm the only one. I'm going to press towards you. I'm going to get a hold of you. There's a difference between attending and touching God and pushing through the crowd and say, God, I'm going to take hold of who you are. I don't care who knows it. You can call me unclean. You can call me that person. But I am going to get a hold of God in my life. He knew that her faith was different. That's what he was asking. No, there was somebody different. He knew who touched him, by the way. We know this, right? If he knows the hairs that are numbered on that hair, he knew exactly who touched him. But he was proving a point of saying, no, somebody else had a different faith when they touched me. Somebody else, this wasn't touching me for a blessing. They wasn't just touching me to feel good. They wasn't touching me to say they touched me. They wasn't at church to say they were at church. But they were there to get a healing. They were there to take hold of something different in their life. They were there because they were tired of bleeding. He's asking that same question today. Who's reaching for him? Are you reaching for him today? That's the question I ask you. Are you reaching for him today? Let's pick it back up in verse 33 and 34. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the what? The whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I love this. It says the woman came and told him everything. She came to Jesus and said, Jesus, here's the whole truth. I ain't got it together. I've been labeled unclean. I've been bleeding for 12 years. I spent all my money on doctors. They couldn't help me. Nobody's been able to help me. But the truth is, Jesus, this is who I am. These people are pointing to me. Yeah, that's me. These people are ridiculing me. Yeah, that's me. But Jesus, I know you can heal me. Jesus, I know. And she chose to uncover herself and tell the whole truth. And when she did that, Jesus picks up the robe and says, woman, today you're healed. And he healed her of her affliction because she chose to tell the truth and to press through the crowd and say, I'm taking hold. Today, are you taking hold of what God has for you in your life? Pride will keep you from living. Pride will keep you living in shame. Our pride says, I've got it together. Our pride says, I can't admit it. My pride says, you don't need prayer. My pride says, I can't raise both hands and go after God. My pride says, I can't cry in church. My pride says, I can't leap for joy. My pride says, I can't kneel before God. My pride says, my pride will keep me living in shame. But let's let go of our shame. Let's let go of our pride. Let's let go of our hurt in 2012 and press toward Jesus. Take hold of what God's got for our life. the best thing for my life in 2013. As the ushers are coming this morning, they would like to take up an offering this morning. As magicians are coming this morning, we're going to close here in just a minute with some worship time. And this is the question I have for you today. Carlos, we missed that one, I think. Are you ready to press in and say, God, I'm ready to let go and take hold? Simple question. I've got to let go, take off my mask, and say, God, I don't have it all together. I need you. And just come in and say, God, I'm going to take hold of everything you got in 2013. I hope that you make that your prayer. That, man, I'm going to press forward. I'm pressing to Jesus. I don't want to just be another number in the crowd who says, oh, yeah, I see Jesus. Oh, I'm reaching for you. There were thousands doing that today. I won't be the one that Jesus stops and says, wait, who really touched me? Who was really desperate for me? Are you desperate today? Are you desperate to say, God, in 2013, I want to let go and I want to take hold of everything you have for my life. I'm tired of hanging on the things I've been dragging in. I don't want to drag those things into a new year, but I'm going to take this time as we start the new year to let go of some things in my past. I want to tell you, God, this is who I am. I want to admit that I need help in my life, and I want to allow the Savior to come and to cover me. If that's you today, if you're ready to take hold of what God has for you in 2013, you're ready to let go of what God's been wanting to let go in your life, I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Join me around the front today as we close out with this song. We're going to come. We're going to press in around the front. Many people are going to come, so we need you to press in all the way to the front, if we could, please. We're going to sing a song that says, this is my humble plea. Take all that's within me and let it be yours. As we sing that song today, I want you to see yourself saying, God, I'm giving you everything I am. I'm letting go. I want you to see that. God, I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm humbly bowing myself before you, and I'm letting go. Press in, guys, a little closer to the front if you can. Make room for those coming in behind you. Some might need to spread out a little bit to the sides. Thank you. And we're going to give it all up to the Lord. Are you ready to give it up to him today? Let's raise our hands. Say, God, do this right here. Say, God, I'm giving it to you today. I'm letting go so that I can take hold. Come on, cast leaves.
Hear, O Lord, my humble plea. Listen to my cry. Give your ear to hear my prayer and answer me. Oh Lord, answer me. May the words that I speak and the thoughts that I meditate on be pleasing to you. Here's my humble plea. Take all that's in me. Let it be yours for your glory. 'Cause you are all I need. So take all that's in me. Let it be yours for your glory. I deny myself behind selfishness. That used to robe my skin. It became my flesh until I confessed my need and brokenness for you. So may the words that I speak and the thoughts that I meditate on me. Pleasing to you, here's my humble plea. Take the less in me. Let it be yours for your glory, 'cause you are all I need. So take all that's in me. Let it be yours for your glory. It's for your glory,
just worship him this morning.
You are.
He's making all things new.
You are. All of creation shouts your praise.
The hope for change.
Hope for change.
Oh, the highest name.
The highest.
Oh, and you will be.
And you will be. Forever you.
Destiny, shout it out.
You are.
Yes, God, you are, you are.
You are.
And we sing your praises.
All of creation shout your praise.
Oh, the hope for change.
The hope for change.
Oh, the highest name.
The highest name.
And you will be.
And you will be. Forever.
Come on, come on, come on.
You are the King of Kings. Lord of lights, just conquered death and gone before. The solid rock beneath our feet, amazing grace, our Savior King, the Prince of Peace, great I am, who's all the world may find. The Lord loves time, who gave it all to save our land. All of creation shall we praise. The hope for change, the highest. before the solid rock beneath my feet. Amazing grace, our Savior be the Prince of Peace. The great I am, the power to overcome. The Lord Most High, He gave it all to save our land.
Time, let's lift them up to God. Lord, I give you everything. God, I let go of everything. God, I let go of everything, God. I let go of everything, Lord, and I'm giving you everything in my life. Lord, I'm giving you everything in 2012. I'm releasing it to you. God, I'm ready to enter a new year, fresh and clean. I want to take hold of everything you have for me. God, I don't want to just be a person who sees you and who brushes up against you, but God, I want to be a person who's willing to fight the current, who's willing to fight the crowd and reach out in faith and say, I'm going to take hold of everything that my God has for me this year. And God, we reach out in faith and Father, we're going to take hold of everything, God. New beginnings this year, God. New ground, breaking new ground, God. Old things are being passed away. All things are becoming new in you, Father. It's a new year. It's a new thing, God. We're walking in you this year. As we praise your name together, come on, say.
Your praise, the hope for change,
I say,
the highest,
and you will be,
and you will be forever you. All of creation shouts your praise. The hope for change, the higher faith, and you will be forever. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who conquered death and gone before. The solid rock beneath our feet. Amazing grace, our Savior King, the Prince of Peace, the great I am, whose love the world can't comprehend. The Lord Most High, who gave it all to save our land.
Hail, somebody say you.
You are all of creation shows your praise. The hope for change, the highest name, and you will be forever.
Come on, put your hands together. Bless the Lord one more time. Somebody, can you do that? Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, we bless your name. Hey, we bless your name together.
Hey, yeah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm so excited. So excited what God is going to do in your lives. God has given me vision in many of your lives already this year. I just can't tell you what God is going to do. It's going to be an incredible year. I hope you are ready. I hope you're coming in ready, expecting what God's going to do in your life this year. God bless you so much. Turn around, get someone a high five, give them a hug. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. Have a great new year.